Matthew 7, 13 through 14 from the NIV version of the Bible tells us, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Today's podcast will feature Dr. Phyllis H. Forte, and we're talking about what happens when we are first saved, when we first give our lives to Christ. Let's talk about it. Please allow me to introduce you to Dr. Phyllis H. Forte. She is a North Carolina native, wife, mother, and grandmother. She is also the pastor of Snow Hill Church of Christ, Disciples of Christ, in Wade, North Carolina, where she's been the pastor since 2009. She is founder and director of Spiritual Endurance Conference Ministries, Inc., founder and president of Quest Theological Seminary. She hosts a weekly Zoom broadcast called Real Talk with Dr. Forte. She is a published author of 5 books, Spiritual Quotations, Harvest of Fruits, Spiritual Quotations Study Guide, Personal Evangelism, Witnessing Effectively, So You're Called to Evangelize, and Ministry in the Minister. She is a certified life coach and chaplain. For details on her numerous accomplishments and credentials, I invite you to check out her bio that is being hosted on our website, talkchurch.org. That's talkchurch.org. Her personal motto is this: out of all that she has accomplished and or obtained in her life, the one thing that is important to Dr. Forte is that she is born again and her life is a testimony for Jesus Christ. Her motto is, "And whatsoever you do, do wholeheartedly as unto God and not unto man," from Colossians 3:23. Prepare yourselves now to be blessed as you listen in on this interview. And if you like what you hear, don't forget to press the subscribe button, like button, or save it. We appreciate your support. Welcome to the podcast. I'm so glad that you're here, Dr. Forte.
Glad to be here.
Yeah. Well, I am just so excited to hear what you have to say on this topic that we'll be discussing today. Today, for the audience, we're going to explore the topic of, you know, what it means to be new to Christianity. Almost, I'm a Christian, now what? You know, what should we do from this point? Dr. Forte, you and I have both seen this scenario play out before several times where we find a person giving their life to Christ. You know, it's a beautiful moment. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you kind of wonder what kind of care will they receive or what kind of care should they be receiving once they make such a monumental decision? Because, you know, we both know that, you know, the enemy is very unhappy when someone makes the decision for Christ, and he's going to come all guns a-blazing trying to get them to come to back away from their decision. So when someone is new to Christ, what benefits should they be aware of? I even want to ask, like, is there like a benefits package, and who should they be telling about their new life in Christ that can kind of hold them accountable?
Well, that is a beautiful question. Thank you for asking, and thank you for having me on this evening. The benefits of being in born again or joining the body of Christ is that you have a new outlook, a fresh outlook spiritually as well as physically. And it's just meaning that, you know, God's spirit now, the power of God dwells on the inside of you. You accept him, and it's like everything just opened up a new, like a great relationship with, you know, that someone that you just meet, and he just sparks you, and you see him and smile and light up. Well, that's how it is when you be become a new creature in Christ, that it's just, you can't wait to get to the church. You can't wait to, you know, the prayer meeting or Bible study. You just can't wait to be the first one there. And you're so excited. And I've seen that. I've seen so many folks who, when they come in, they were so, I mean, because of the world that they lived in, because of the things that happened to them. And now the Holy Spirit is just so new to them, and they just love it. So the benefits are that, you know, that now you are redeemed by the blood of Christ, and now that you are saved by the grace of God, and that, you know, you have everlasting life to look forward to. And you got hope now that you didn't have before, but now you got hope. And, you know, yeah, we're going to mess up, but guess what? He's a God that loves us and that forgives us of all of our sins. So the benefits is that you are renewed in Christ spiritually, that you have an everlasting life to look forward to. When you're out of the ark of safety, you don't have that. But now you got a net that you know that you can fall on, you know, fall into, and God will catch you, you know. I think it's in the Old Testament where he says that he will take your sins and he will cast them into the sea of forgiveness, and they will never rise up on you again. God is like, not like man, that he shall lie, that he will, he will be a God that's faithful to his word. And I got to stop because, you know, I get to preaching about it.
But then who should they tell then? Because you make a good point, you know, like if they're with someone that knew what they used to do, mm-hmm. you know, do they tell that person? You know, because that person, you know, the Lord is not going to throw your sin back in your face, but the person that you used to run with might. So who is it that they should be telling about their new life in Christ?
Well, you know, for all Christians, and we, I think it's all of our responsibility in Saint John, I think it's the 28th chapter, the Great Commission, when he says, and then Jesus came and spake, saying, and all power is given to him. Go ye therefore, teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, and lo, he will be with you always until the end of the earth. So that's all of our responsibility. When you, whether you're laity, whether you know somebody that's been in church forever, whether you're a leader within the church, it's all of our responsibility to tell everybody that we meet. You know, we want everybody to come and be part of it. It's like, you know, when you have your favorite team, you want to tell everybody about your team winning. Well, we only winning team. You want to tell everybody about the winning team. You know, this one you cannot mess up on. This one you sure to get a touchdown. This one you sure to make the hoop or the goal. You sure to win. So you want everybody to be able to come and bask in this everlasting life that you and I are so fortunate to be able to know that we have a part of now.
Okay. So we can tell the person that we used to run with, and with the hope being that they too will come into the ark of safety.
Amen. Yeah.
Okay. Well, then let's think about that a little bit more. So what pitfalls, because that person knew what we used to do, and they may still be out there doing, you know, some worldly things. So what pitfalls should the new Christian be aware of? I ain't got saved, I ain't been told folk, but now I'm tempted. So what pitfalls?
Well, when you talk about pitfalls, you think about, you know, that hanging out with the old crowd, hanging out with that person that is not giving their life to Christ, going back to those same old haunts, you know, the same old hangout, and start back, you know, indulging in that stuff that you're watching on TV and, you know, doing those old dances that you used to do, you talking the same old talk. And I was in the store today and I hear someone. You know, when you go to the store, sometimes people, they're aware of you, your presence, so they started talking differently or started trying to impress the person, and they keep watching you. And I was like, oh, wow, this is funny. It's so funny to watch that, you know, the persona, you know, the outward persona, but the things that was coming out of the mouth was so vile. And I was like, wow, you know, you're not impressing me, because at one moment they'll talk about God, but the next moment they'll be cussed. I'm like, oh my, you know. So we got to make sure that we are completely in. So the pitfall would be, you can't hang out with folks that are still cussing and drinking and carrying on worldliness. You can't. That would be a no-no. You got to make sure that you come up, you know, come on. Once you put your hand to the plow, the Old Testament, you can't look back, you know, that you're not fitted for the kingdom of God. So we got to put our hand to the plow, hold on tight, because there's never no telling what way God's going to take us in this journey. But you can't look back. You know, he had, remember Lot, you know, in the Old Testament, you know, when he had to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, the Spirit of God told him, don't look back, you know, but the wife looked back, and we know what happened. Whenever you look back, temptation is there.
Mm-hmm. She turned into a pillar of salt.
Amen.
Now, let me ask you this, though. Okay, so we have established that going to the club, the nightclub, is on the table. But what if that person that does those types of things actually lives in your house. You can't really escape them then. So what happens when there's a more intimate connection there where you can't really escape?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you said boundaries. I thought about, I remember my grandmother, I'm gonna make it personal. I remember when we all was raised back in the day, most everybody was raised by their grandparents. And, you know, the grandparents had an important role within our lives. And I remember one of my uncles, he was young and he, you know, he was defiant. And but one thing that my grandmother and grandfather did, they dug in with him. And you're not going to bring no alcohol in this house. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not going to come in my house late. You know, so you had to be strong. You had to be strong with that person that's in your home, because that it would affect not only you, but it would affect anyone else within your home. And so you had to set up a boundary. You had to set boundaries. And I know with my grandchildren, I'm personal with me, I have boundaries for all my grandchildren, that when they come to Gigi or grandma's house, they know that there's things that are there. I mean, they expect, I put your phone up, this is our time, you know? And they know that now. So you just have to stay with it, you know? It's not going to just, you know, be an easy sale. But once the person know you, they respect you. You know, we find that all the time in this Christian journey. Once someone know your character, your integrity, they might drink and cuss on the street. When they come around you, they put it all down.
They won't do it. They will not do it. Okay. Well, let me ask you this then. So what about relationships? How does a new Christian govern their relationships if they're not married? So we talked about it a little bit, you know, just kind of setting those boundaries.
Right.
Trying to date.
Well, when you are new in Christ, you know, if you don't have, if you're single, that's what you're saying to me, if I'm understanding it correctly. Okay. So when you're single and you're new in Christ, it's enough being married, new in Christ. Because, you know, as a wife and a mother, and you know, you come in new, you're starry-eyed, but you still have the responsibilities of, you know, cleaning, you know, washing clothes, cooking, preparing, going shopping, you have all those items still that you had to do. But when you're single, it's just you, and you could, you know, you with God now, you have the opportunity to read and prepare and study and meditate. Where me being married, I don't have that luxury. I had to find that time. I had to put that time in and schedule in. But when you're single like that, you know, I'm not gonna say don't make your bed up, but you know, it's not essential. Now I'm a little, you know, asymptomatic kind of person. My bed will be made. But being single, you just have more time to work on your relationship with God. You have more time to, as you coming into it, to build a relationship with your family. Those family members that's not saved, they're unsaved, you know, cousins, you know, friends of the family. And, you know, you can invite folks to church, start various things that would involve them, not preachy, but some things that you can involve them in, you know, give them books and material and tell them they'll read and get back with you. And then, you know, they'll start growing. You start pulling your family members in for the friends that you used to hang out with, you know, that may still, you know, look at you differently. You still eat lunch with them and not talk that talk, but, you know, walk this new walk, and they'll start to see the benefits of what you're doing. And that's what will keep you solid as you continue to grow being single. Those are some things.
Well, and let's flip it then and think about the married people. So what happens when a married person gives their life to Christ, but their spouse doesn't? The Bible suggests that this is not grounds for a break in that relationship. So then how does a new Christian interact with their non-Christian spouse?
Well, you know, it's funny that this is one of the questions that you ask, because I'm counseling somebody now that's, you know, going through that. The husband's unfaithful and the wife is faithful. And I think they're leaders within their church, and he have a higher role than she does. But I talk with her, and I have counseled him. And what I've told him, I remind her about Gomer, Hosea and Gomer, Old Testament, where, you know, it's just an illustration of how God is. Hosea married a prostitute. And who wouldn't be married to a prostitute? But then God married us, you know, and we had to be faithful as a spouse, you know. Because the vows, what we made it with God. Now, if they are unequal and yoked, that's a whole different story, I think. But if you are new in Christ and both of you are you know, growing, or you growing in that process now, you continue to pray for that. I know so many pastors, truly I do, and first lady and pastors have stepped out on their wives. And I could tell you those wives have stayed there. And those wives have prayed. And I got friends that have prayed. And I'm able to watch now how that husband is turning now and coming back. Never left that wife. The wife continued to love him, continued to do the things that she's supposed to do because she was solid with God. And I'm sure with me in the same way. It's hard now. It's not going to be something easy to do. But we had to forgive of all sins. Somebody asked me, what would I do? I said, I don't know. I pray that God don't put that on me. But I will pray that I will pray that I will stay faithful to who I'm, to who I am in God. So the thing that a spouse had to do, they had to continue to grow. Because I think the New Testament says sanctify a wife, sanctify a husband, or vice versa. And that means that you had to read your word, study your word. Because when they see you reading, when they see you studying, they're doing the things that's not that are proven to God, they respect. They're not going to come in, you know, and be rowdy. I've seen some family members right now that father was out in the street drinking, and now he's back in the church because the wife continued to stay focused and stay committed to God. So stay focused and committed.
Okay. So there's that focus and commitment and knowing mm-hmm. that the Lord is able to change hearts.
Amen.
All right. So then let's talk about rules. Mm. You know, some people associate Christianity with rules that have to be followed no matter what. And that's all they see. You know, they just see it as black and white rules. So they tend to wait until later into their lives to give their life to Christ because they say they're not ready to follow all of these rules and they don't think you can have any fun and they just think it's all drudgery. So is there another perspective to be had than just, you know, rules and regulations and drudgery and boredom? And, you know, is there another perspective to be had?
I do believe, and I thank God for the church today because I see more pastors. Oh, in the old days, a lot of the pastors, it was just so staunch. There was never no room to, you know, do anything and go out. But now you have so many churches now. There's so many activities that you could do, that you can enjoy and go out. I'm one that believe in going to the movies. I encourage my folks to go to the movies. I believe in going out and being adventurous and finding educational pieces to, you know, involve in, finding plays to go to. There are so many things that are going skating and bowling and going out, you know, for lunches. There's so much that you could do. The spectrum is so big, you know. Even with that, now that I think folks don't go Halloween to go, was it Joy Night that a lot of folks have? There's so much that you could do, trunk or treat and things of that nature. There's no reason for nobody not want to come to church now. They have basketball tournament, bowling tournament, baseball, game night. It's just so much. I mean, yeah.
So you're saying that people can find joy in the Christian life.
Oh, yeah.
You know, without it feeling like a chore.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My grandchildren, they love coming over here on Sundays, you know, because they know that Gigi like have fun. You know, we have dinner and we have games and they have things at their table. They want to get out in church and come over here. But they know at the same time, you know, they have opportunity to pray because each week I let one know, you have 14 grandchildren. Okay, next week is your turn to pray. So they're ready. You have to see them running. It's my time to pray, my time to pray. So it's just family and bonding time, you know. It's just so much now to be thankful for as a child of God.
Okay. Well, it's interesting that you picked up on that you just mentioned prayer because prayer is a spiritual discipline. And spiritual disciplines are important to spiritual growth. So what are some of your favorite spiritual disciplines?
Oh, fasting and prayer. For me, mm-hmm. Meditating, the last week I was cooking. And, you know, when I get to cooking, I'm excited because I'm thinking about my family, you know, and I get so excited and I want to make sure everything is just so. And God is. That song was ringing in me. I mean, I'm crying and cooking and snotting, started just praising God. Hands went up. My Lee was out on the deck and he came in and just to sing that song. And I told him, I said, when we go to church tomorrow, I want this song to be the song that will be playing the whole time, you know, that first couple of minutes. And then when I finish, I want that song. And it moves so mightily, just that song. Well, he went down to New Orleans and there was with the Red Cross, and he told me they had service on this Sunday. And who was supposed to have been operating the sound system? It wasn't working. It was having all kinds of hiccups. So you know him, my husband, he went up and said, I got something. And the song that he played that I hadn't played last week in the service was a song that he played. He said, in New Orleans, it was not that dry eye in that house. So, you know, having those type, you know, things that are dear regiments that I do, they also, you know, roll on to him. And so this morning I got up and there was a song that the Lord placed in, within my heart. And I ended up sending it out to my other friends. And I kept sending. And folks started texting me back. And, oh, my God, I needed that song. And it was just so, you know, so therapeutic. So songs, the old songs are good for me. Praying and fasting is great. Reading the word, finding my place within God and just making sure I build that solid relationship with him, that one-on-one.
Well, what kind of fast do you do?
Well, we just came off, there was something new and never done before. It was a prayer fast. And the prayer fast was that how the Lord told me, my usually is just, you know, praying and fasting scripturally and making sure that, you know, we give up, not necessarily food, but give up anything that's going to pull us, that's been controlling me, where it's the TV, where, you know, it's sodas, or where it's gossiping, anything that's distracting and that calls a thumbprint from the world within your spirit, give it up. But this one was the Lord told me to teach on prayer fast, meaning that, you know, we pray for folks all the time. But, you know, I tell you, oh, I pray for you, sweetheart. Oh, I'm praying. But no. This time it was one that when I thought about someone, I went right into praying and let the Holy Spirit take me farther into praying for that person. And it may be a longer prayer than usual. And it built my relationship with God. And then I started hearing from that person that I know I was praying, and they received benefits. So I told the church, and we stayed on it a whole month. And I saw the transitioning within them, because they would learn how to be spiritual prayer warriors. So that was one. But we do Daniel fast, and we just do when the Lord tell me to just go on a corporate fast, or me just taking myself on one. My husband's out of town. I just, you know, just go without and just pray and have a relationship with God and just build up, you know, me more spiritually and physically, being able to deny myself some things.
Well, that's awesome. Well, thanks for sharing how you're fasting, especially how the church just recently completed that fast. That's that's interesting to hear. You know, I think a church that will fast and pray is a successful church, because they're united to the Lord, and that's what it's about. That's where the success is when we as Christians are yielded to the Lord. So how can or should Christians who are basically at any point in the journey, new Christian, you know, seasoned Christian, any point of the journey, how should they be able to engage, or how should they engage in the spiritual disciplines?
Oh, well, for me, it was journaling when I heard the Lord call and started dealing with me as I continue to grow. I know it's about 2000. And it was, you know, writing into my journal. And I purchased my journal and I was so excited. And I'm going to write a love letter and just write to God. And, you know, you're growing. And the next thing I know, Lord said, no, I just need for you to write down one page. You know, we'd be writing all night long. The discipline was for me to write one page. And, you know, I had to write down the scripture I read. Then I had to write down a quick prayer. Then I went and to talking about how good he was, and not asking for anything, just living on. I couldn't ask for anything. And at the end, there was just five little lines that he allowed me to write. And I had to pray for those leaders within the world and the government, pray for, you know, teachers, policemen, firemen, and anybody that was, you know, right then first line of defense, and pray for our church pastors and spiritual leaders, and then pray for those who backslid, and pray for your family. And I'm trying to remind myself of somebody who asked me to pray for them, and pray for them. Then I'm glad. So it will be scribble for me down there at the end what I want from God. But I'll be crying sometime when I'm writing. I would start crying and just thinking about how the Spirit would just meet me right there. But every week I would go back and look at my journal, reread, and I could see what God had done if I asked for anything, you know. And the blessing was he disciplined me that I was, I learned how to pray for folks through that journaling. I learned how to have my relationship with God through that journaling. Amen. I learned how to not be selfish and, you know, me through that journaling. I learned how to have a relationship with God without asking him for something through that journaling. And, you know, that we have one sentence for me at the end, you know. And through my writing, I learned, you know, to put me on the back burner because it's not about me. So journaling can do so many things and open up so many doors for you. It also give you that discipline that, you know, you're able to take in things and not be so sensitive, you know, because you know, at the end of the day, you have a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. No matter what someone else do to you, no matter what, how nasty someone might treat you, when you, at the end of the day, I have opportunity. I have one of my babies in my church, and she hear me. I've been there going 11 years. She called me during the pandemic, and she told another member that she bought it. She called the member, the one called me. She said, I know Pastor told us when she first came to the church about journaling. And she said her mother passed and the father moved away. And she said, what do I do? And the person told her what to do. And she's 31 years old. So she says, she waited and wrote about 2 weeks, and she had to call me. She said, Pastor, I want you to know, I heard you 10 years ago. I bought my journal. I've been writing in my journal. My life is not as hard now. I'm having the best time ever because she's single. She won't know why come she ain't got no husband. She won't know why come, you know, she can't date. She won't know all this. Now she found her footing with God. And she was like, she told me, she said, you told me everything you told me. I got over $500,000 saved up now. And I got the job that I want. It took me 5 years. She said, but I listened to you. She said, I want to let you know. And just those are the things, the benefits of you being disciplined, because you see, you're sowing for your future. You reap for your future. So I'm planted 10 years ago, 11 years ago. I'm able to see now the benefits. The other thing is that, you know, reading books and not outside the Bible, books that will motivate you, entering studies and studies, not necessarily that will be, you know, hard study, but in-depth studies within the scripture, or finding other tools within that can help grow you personally. You know, there are so many things that you can do to help build you up your relationship with God and grow you. Having a prayer partner is one of the other tools, you know. Having somebody hold you accountable, making sure that you just, you know, the music and things, writing songs and, you know, writing poetry, books and children books, drawing. It's so many things that you can do to help grow you spiritually.
Amen. And I like how, you know, there are a lot of things we can do, but we also, you know, we always base it on the word of God, always come back Amen. To that foundation. So mm-hmm. But you know, because we know that the Bible is the word of God. So it is also, among other things, a record of God's faithfulness to his people. So how would you suggest a Christian keep up or document with God's activity in their lives outside of journaling? Is there another method that they could use? Like what are they, the type of person that just won't write anything? Oh, yeah, it's like I'm not a pen and paper person. How can I keep up with what God is doing?
Well, you know, the phone, I use my phone all the time. I like, again, I'm a person that plans, you know, pretty much. So for somebody that they just do it weekly, not do it day, you know, day by day, you know, pencil something on a calendar, you know, and then see what happened next week. Find someone to pray with, you know, and start to pray with that person. Do some activities, you know, that not necessarily are spiritual, but things that you can see that God will be moving in, you know, for this cooking, you know, and finding something new to do, and you'll find the Spirit of God, you know, moving in on you. There's, again, some gamut of things that you can do, not necessarily writing, you know. Music, you know, sitting there and soothe the savage beast. You know, you could listen to, you got gospel, hip hop, gospel, rap. I mean, you know, spoken word. There's so many things now. Again, old church, we don't have the old church now. We have a new church, and it's a lot that to be said about it. Good things.
Well, yeah, you know what? I was just thinking too, like if someone is not wanting to keep a written record of those things, we do have notes apps on our phone. You know, a lot of us do text. And so, you know, we can keep a little notes app and just fill those things out of, you know, how we seen the God, seen God move. I've been able to keep prayer requests in the notes portion of my phone. Because if I write it on a slip of paper, I might forget where I put the slip of paper. Relying on the Lord to help me remember what it was I was supposed to be praying about. So now I just kind of, you know, tend to put it in the notes portion of my phone. Yeah. So we can use technology too that we have on us as something to, you know, kind of document God's activity in our lives, right?
I recommend Evernote. I write down everything. I got all my sermons. I mean, and then I even have, like you said, text. And I text myself notes, you know, real quick. It's available and just quick, you know. But the Lord speaking to me about a message for Sunday. I write it down real quick and I keep on moving, you know. That phone is right there. It's your third hand.
I have used Evernote in the past too. But then there's also Notability. And there's a plethora, so people should just take some time to look on your, you know, the app store for your particular device and see what might work. So that's good.
Amen.
So if we've got, we've got people reading the Bible, can you speak to how important it is to read a Bible in a translation that you can understand? I mean, the King James just isn't for everyone, right? Sometimes those E's and vowels trip you up.
I have had Amplifier, but the one that I could say that I recommend, I have a lady in my church, she's past her 70s, and she really was growing, and I love folks to be just open and honest, because that's how I'm able to know what they need and able to help get them where they need to get to in Christ. And I remember when I started out many, many years ago, that King James was not it. My grandfather, he was adamant about the King James. I'm like, we can't pronounce the words in King James. Listen. So, but the Lord blessed me to read the Bible like 7 times, but you forget every time. Every time you read, everything is new. You know, you don't care how many times you read it. You're like, oh, I forgot that. Oh, you know. But I had to get the verse-by-verse Bible. And the verse-by-verse is elementary, you know. So I recommend that one. I found and I give it to people because it's easy, you know, in modern term. Analogy, and I said, once you get to the place you do this, then move up. But the verse by verse is paperback. It used to be like $1, $2. Now everybody must be buying. It's like $24. I can't afford to give it out no more. But the verse by verse Bible is blue. I kept that thing. It was tattered, but it was just easy, and you could get an understanding because there's so many tools out there now on your phone, you know, your Amplified Bibles, but Study Bible. There's so many things that you can read. What's the Parallel Bible? I got one that's got 70, and I'm like, that's too much. You know, but there's so many tools that you can use. Books with Survey of the Bible. They're real quick, give you a quick, you know, overview of the Bible. There are just a lot of things that you could Google now, and anything that you want, just say it, it'll come up, and it would help lead you, and you could read for yourself what might best suit you. Okay.
Yeah, you know, I was also just thinking too. There's this on YouTube. There's this a group, the Bible Project, and they do those book overviews that you were just mentioning. You know, and they have a little. They have like, it's like animation. So it's like kind of watching a quick little cartoon.
Okay.
And it's very easy to follow. And they touch on the high points of the book. And I actually like that. I use it in Sunday school sometimes.
Okay.
It's the Bible Project. I'll link to it on my website.
Okay.
But yeah, so that's cool. Do you have any, so we mentioned ESV. Well, I was thinking about ESV, but you mentioned some translations. Is there anything that people should be aware of? I mean, I still give King James a hard time, but I still read it. I have King James. I have the NIV, the ESV, the Children's International Children's Bible, the New Living Testament. So I could go on and on, but those are the ones I kind of hang out with. You know, there's the paraphrases of the Bible, and then there's the actual, you know, translations of the Bible. So is there anything that we should be aware of when we're thinking about a paraphrase versus an actual, you know, literal translation?
Yeah. As much as possible, if you could get that parallel Bible, that the King James and whatever the New Testament, so you're able to go back and make sure it's not, you know, it's matching up, especially when you're new in Christ. Because I think the older we get, we understand that there may be a break, you know. But when you're new, you want to try to follow that word as much as possible because you don't want nothing to pull you off. I've seen all kinds of Bibles now. I mean, every group have their own Bible. Let me do it that way. You got folks who are in the world got their own type Bible. You know, you could go in there and find all kinds of Bible for any and all people. So you want to make sure that you don't get caught out there wrong with the wrong information. So I would think about a parallel Bible with the King James. It's a good investment. Because you best in knowing exactly, you know, exactly what's supposed to be. So the King James with the new NIV will be great, or a study Bible.
Okay. Well, good. Okay. Well, look, as a pastor, what advice would you give someone to, you know, who is just starting out on their Christian journey? We talked about at the beginning about that care that we want to make sure that the people have. So, you know, from a pastor's heart, what things should they have going forward?
Okay. When you're new in Christ, the first thing is, you know, you have to build your discipline up so you won't fall back into the pitfalls. So, you know, again, this is for that person. I'm a planner. So, you know, I had planned the night before for my day. When I find that folks don't get to church on time, but they get to work on time, you know, and then you find folks I meant to, but you always don't work on time. So you had to plan your day, you know, the night before. And so it would be planning, you know, and in that planning that night before, you know, lay your clothes out, make sure everything is there. And this is this build discipline, not only for church, but for your everyday living. And then, you know, I cook on either Thursday or Friday for Sunday. So I don't have to get into rushing, preaching, running back home because I'm a pastor, my mom, you know, I'm a wife, you know, I'm a grandmother. And so when I come in, I'll do those, put my items in the microwave or the oven and keep moving. But if you plan your day out as much as possible the night before, you'll find that you are more apt to stay on course and be aware of the pitfalls. So the next morning when I get up, that means you can have your prayer time. You know, get up and have that prayer time there. Be able to have your study time. You ain't got to read the whole Bible. You may just read a scripture and keep it moving. I always tell young folks, and then on this journey, start slow. Read one scripture. Don't try to read the whole chapter because it can be overwhelming and it push you back. So I always start out with, you know, St. John. That's the gospel for all Gentiles. I always start there. Read that, you know, and continue to read that. And then as you go throughout your day, you know, make sure you eat your breakfast. That's your vitamins. And make sure that you do a little exercise. Make sure you stretch. I mean, I like going out in the morning on my screening, standing for a minute, reflecting. And then when I come back, the world is not as heavy. You know, don't get involved with everybody else's trouble. I told somebody yesterday, they was telling me they are a principal. And they were saying that the supervisor wrote them up because she was saying that you always trying to help all the, I see you in the hallway helping everybody, but your job is to be the principal, you know? And she said it hurt her to hear that, but she knew that that was right. And now as she was talking, I said, the Holy Spirit told me to tell you that you are to give out parachutes, but you are not to jump with the person. That's their obligation to learn how to use that parachute and when to jump and how to land. So, you know, we had to put some balance in our life. And that's the main thing, planning your day so you won't get drawn into a lot of things that will pull you back into the world. If you plan your day, you're not going to get dot every I and cross T's. There's some things going to happen. But as much as possible, have a regimen to start and stay on it.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful advice there. So then let's switch it now. I know that pastors can be counselors, but I also know that you are a counselor. So as a credentialed counselor. So as a counselor, what advice would you give for someone who is trying their absolute best to maintain their relationship with the Lord during this pandemic?
Ooh, that one is, I mean, I have talked with folks again dealing with that. And first of all, stop listening to all the news. You know, you had to limit the news. You really do. You can't watch Fox, CNN, you know, Good Morning America, the whole 2 hours all day long with news. You got to stop. That would be, you know, because the news can, it really can just mesh with your head. The other thing when I'm counseling folks and they stressed out, I'm saying, how's your relationship with God? I mean, have you put him, because I found out that during this pandemic, we have gained that COVID-15. You know, we're focusing more on eating, the remote and all that stuff. We got to get it back some balance with that. So it goes back to, what are you doing with God? Have you put God on the shift? Because, you know, we're not going to church like we used to. We're not going to Bible study. We're not in Sunday school. So what are you doing with that timeline? You got to lock that time still for God. So if you're not in Sunday school and your church is not open, well, then you do a little Sunday school, and you got YouTube, you got all these churches that you can listen to. I mean, you could go 24/7 there. And you know, and right in your own home, the leisure. Don't look at so much TV that would call you to be sedentary. Watch what you eat instead. You know, make sure you choose healthy foods. And a lot of us have, you know, really had to go back. I talked to my neighbor the other day, and she was like, I've lost 15 pounds within a month. She had to, you had to gauge what you're eating, you had to gauge what you're saying, who you're hanging out with. The other thing that is crucial in this pandemic is to not forget those that are sick. What I've done is we used to go visit our mothers in the nursing home, but we can't because of the pandemic, my aunt. But everybody had to get their phone number, get their card, and they had to send a card to them. So we're sending cards out now so that that person will get a card each week from us. So I don't ask who time it is. I make sure that I had sent a card. When the mother get the call, she's so excited the church have not forgotten them or the member. They know that then you call folks. I mean, this morning I sent out songs too. The Lord was giving me a song for me, but as I'm singing, and he gave me somebody else who I know the husband had passed. He gave me somebody else who I know is at work and who father's in the hospital. And I sent them songs. And as soon as I sent them, they was texting me, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. So, you know, you still ministering, you still witnessing. There's so many tools that you could do. There's an app on your from the app store that you could buy, and it's like spiritual things that you can send out each day of the week. And I have that. Sometimes I send it to different folks, just let them know, have a blessed Monday, you know, have a blessed Tuesday. And you know, when they respond back, that's the joy that you made somebody day, just not just sitting at home doing nothing. There is so many things that you could do to be a blessing to other folks. And then I plan dinners, still I plan meals, and I take my neighbors something was left over. They love it. You know, I don't feel like there's a pandemic here within my home because we still are going on. Of course, my Christmas tree is up. All my Christmas trees are up.
Let the record reflect it is not November and her Christmas tree is up.
Okay. All of them.
All of them for clarification, more than one, multiple Christmas trees.
Yes.
Well, I have to tell you, you're certainly been a blessing to us on this podcast episode today. You've given us a lot to consider and to contemplate for our own spiritual growth at any stage. You know, you've given a lot of information for newcomers. He's also have provided some challenges for those of us who are further along the journey. So I have to ask now that if there is someone who has any further questions, how can they get in contact with you?
Well, I'm easy. my email is drphforte1@gmail.com. Again, that is drphforte1 gmail@gmail.com. And you could just shoot me an email and I'd be happy to respond. I'm look forward to not trying to get anybody members. Pastor Stonehill Church of Christ in Wade, North Carolina, it's down about 13 miles on this side of 95, this side of Fayetteville. So you're able to just get off on exit 61 and follow the sign.
All right. Well, I will also tell our listeners that I will post Dr. Forte's information on the website that supports this podcast, talkchurch.org, And so that information will be there along with her email for you guys to contact her. And of course, you know, if you're ever on 95, you can certainly drop in to Snow Hill and give her a visit. So,
amen. Also, Reverend King, I do every Friday, Thursday night, the Lord has blessed me since we're in the pandemic, a real talk with Dr. Forte at 7 p.m. from 7 p.m. to 7:30. And that's Real Talk with Dr. Forte on Zoom.
Okay. How do you get access to that?
Email. I mean, you can email me or you could, I think it's on my Facebook page.
Okay. So what we'll have to do is just send the email to drforte1@gmail.com. Amen. Mm-hmm. And then from that point, you know, if they're interested to get the Zoom credentials, you'll let them know.
Amen.
All right, that sounds good. Thank you so much for being with us on today.
Thank you for having me. It's been a joy. You home in my skills, making me, you know, stay on my game. I appreciate it. Thank you. In the midst of this pandemic. And I think I'm just praying that God will just bless you with this new endeavor. Really, truly, I do. Because we are in need of you know, these tools still. Because everybody, you know, it's a new day and era, you know, and we're just seeing the Spirit of God move. And I've enjoyed, and I'm praying that God would just bless you richly as you can continue to go forward.
Oh, I certainly do appreciate each and every prayer that you lift up on my behalf and on this podcast behalf. And once again, just thank you so much for, you know, joining us here and giving us your time on this evening.
No problem. Thank you for having me. Have a blessed night.
You have been listening to Let's Talk Church, a podcast designed for the curious and the convinced. Join us weekly as we explore and get more comfortable with Christianity. If you haven't done so already, please click subscribe. Also, you're welcome to join us on Instagram @talkchurch. We pray that our God will bless and keep you.